From the First Midwest Bank State Street Studio on WMVP WSHE HD2 Chicago, this is ESPN 1000.
You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie.
ESPN 1000 and now on FM at 100.3 HD2.
This is Chicago's home for sports.
It's Monday. No better time to start planning your weekend than on a Monday, right? Look forward to the weekend. Why not? It's what you got to do. Get yourself through the week.
Get ready for Bears and Niners on the lakefront.
We are going to be out in Mount Prospect on Friday. This is Friday, October 29th. We'll get you ready for the holiday weekend for Bears Niners. As Waddle said, it's going to be Miller time at a place called Draft Picks. Right in Mount Prospect. That's 912 Bussey Road. It's all brought to you by Miller Lite. Come on out and see us. So I miss this being at the game in Tampa. We did highlight this. We did a really good job last week of highlighting a couple of things of the fourth down game last year, absolutely. And Abdallah thought he would troll him. I thought it was a good point. I was surprised he didn't.
I was expecting a good troll job as well.
But I was all over it as far as this is a game he had circled that I knew that they would get four touchdowns for him. He would, and remember, he started with a running touchdown too. So
yeah. They felt pretty confident they'd be back in the red zone.
and he could have had more. He could have. They actually didn't do great work. I heard Bruce Arians on one of their wrap up shows last night on TV was not happy with their red zone offense.
They were 5 of 7, I think, in the red zone. But like I said to you, but again, the bar is at an enormously high level. I didn't think that's as accurate as I've seen Brady.
No,
he had some bad moments. I think, by the way, did you know he had a stretch of 6 straight incompletions, which tied a career high for him.
He could have had the record with a 7th straight, right?
Correct.
Danny was
personal
hoping
record
that we had got to see the 600th touchdown, and we would see a record for him with consecutive incompletions. But it was someone behind me, I was waiting in line for beer, and by the way, thumbs down to the amenities. I used to love it as a reporter. Raymond James Stadium, we were spoiled when we went to Vegas. All the new modern technology. Lines, 20 to 30 minutes for a beer.
Yeah.
Any food you wanted, 20 to 30 minutes. Very Soldier Field-like. Bathroom lines, not too bad. No soap available in the bathroom. Not a good sign in the middle of a pandemic.
It is Tampa.
I mean, we're still fighting through COVID. I mean, I would think soap in the bathroom is not a hard ask. And 2 hours.
Spit in your hands and just rub them together.
2 hours for an Uber after the game. 2 hours after we went to the Yankee spring training home across the street. We started throwing around the baseball a little
bit.
Did
you? There was a baseball around?
Well, yes, there were a few baseballs.
Really?
Security guard provided us some balls. We were playing catch. We were having a catch while we were waiting for Ubers. I'm going to bring it up a good, bad, dirty. What they're doing with the rideshare business, someone's going to have to explain this to me with this surging. They're holding.
Surge price?
The surging's out of control. The canceling, these canceling scams where they cancel and they get like their free $10 and they blame the person who requested the Uber. There's all these scams going on with Uber and Lyft drivers and with the company. And I don't like it and I won't stand for it.
Sounds like you did for two hours.
And I paid a surge price this morning to the airport.
Yeah.
So you're right.
Sounds like you're really putting your foot down there, mister.
Just like I am with the Bears, I'm coming back for more.
Yeah.
So you got me. You got me. So let's get to the call here of this, the art of negotiation. So I missed this. The 600 touchdown pass, we're all over. We told you that he could get this.
We all knew this. Mike Evans didn't, obviously.
You don't remember who else didn't was Brate. Cameron Brate, when we brought this up, he didn't know about it until we told him.
Yeah.
So none of them knew. And then Mike Evans ran and gave the ball to the fan, right? And
wasn't Byron Kennedy, I believe, is his name.
And he's going to join us coming up at 5:30 because the amount of money he could have gotten for the football. First, let me take you to the call on CBS with Jim Nance, Tony Romo on the call.
Evans, 600, it is.
Oh, that was the 600. Gotcha. I've never heard of 600 in anything in football, but Brady has it with a strike. to Evans over the middle using his size. And how good is that 600, Jim?
Great negotiations in NFL history.
Right here, he's like, we need that ball. That's 600. What? Really? So what do you want? A million? No? Oh, no, A day with Giselle, and I'm in. Tom? Okay, Tom will do it. He'll allow it. One time, you got it.
Well, Jim, here's how it went down. The Tampa Bay official went over, and he said, what can I give you? So he gave him another game ball and then promised him some sort of signed jersey. They're going to figure it out after it's all over today, Jim.
That's a bad deal.
It is. That is a terrible deal.
I really thought that David Giselle was really working to pull the trigger on. $1 million is up there. I mean, they're close, you know. But he had his chance, and he gave it back. Got to haggle for at least two commercials.
Could have been some tickets involved, season tickets, who knows. A little stipend as well.
First of all, the Chuckle Hut was open for 3.5 hours yesterday between Tony Romo and Jim Nantz.
Right here, he's like, we need that ball. That's 600. What? Really? So what do you want? A million? No? A day with Giselle, and I'm in. Tom? Okay, Tom will do it. No out. One time. You got it.
Really?
No like, out one time? And like, what?
Tony Romo was suggesting Tom Brady offer this fan, Byron Kennedy, a date with his wife in exchange for
the
football.
Sounded like more than a date when he said one time and out. Or what?
I don't know what he was implying. I would assume he was just meaning that it was one date. I've seen the movie Indecent Proposal.
Is that Demi Moore?
Yes. And Woody Harrelson. And Robert Redford.
That I remember where he offered.
I think it was for $1 million she spent the night with Robert Redford.
There's been a couple of different movies like that. I want to say there was another one.
Most of them are porns, but.
No, this was. I'm thinking also of like a Nicolas Cage, Sarah Jessica Parker movie, perhaps.
I think of Leaving Las Vegas.
That was not about it.
No, because what's her name's in
Elizabeth Shue.
She's my favorite. Yeah, I love Elizabeth Shue. No, that's not what I was thinking, though. There's another one with Sarah Jessica Parker where they make some indecent proposal.
I don't know. It just seemed a little odd that Tony Romo felt like it would be cool to say, hey, you know what, Tom, if you want that football back, you may have to offer up your wife for a date for one night.
So and Darren Revell then reported this morning that what the authenticators, these collectible guys, are saying that this ball could be worth $500,000.
Are we sure about that? Because usually Darren Revell comes out with something and 10 people come out and refute what he says.
And then eventually he has to say, I chose my words poorly. Right. Let me rephrase my tweet.
Are we sure about this? First of all, let's start with, I can't believe that Mike Evans wasn't aware of the fact that this was a really important piece of memorabilia. You can't, like...
You think you shouldn't know this, or, like, do you remember...
I just can't imagine it wasn't, like, it wasn't discussed, whether it was at the facility or... Tom Brady had to know, right?
Well, Danny said to me that Tom Brady looked to be running towards the ball. Because do you remember Michael Jordan? Michael Jordan's move was, every time the Bulls would clinch the championship, the first thing he would do is secure the basketball. Did you know this?
I did not know that.
Watch all the videos, especially the later he got. He would go secure the basketball because he'd want the basketball.
Yeah.
He would want to make sure that nobody else would get. And this has been a subject in Chicago sports history, too, with home run balls. Do you remember with Paul Konerko gifting the 2005 final out ball to Jerry Reinsdorf, that Rizzo gave it to Ricketts after they won the pennant, or maybe perhaps after they won the World Series? But so he didn't know. So that's mistake number one.
Yeah, I mean, what's going on?
Mistake number two is, and I'm speaking as a fan, this is, again, where you have to know the situation, okay? You know you're going to get bullied as a fan. You know in the spotlight, in the cameras, all the other people are yelling at you. There's somebody with the team that is going to try and strong-arm you. You've got to say, let's take this inside. You cannot negotiate from your seat.
Tough position to be in as the fan.
It's the peer pressure is going to get you. And you can't, the other thing you cannot do then you can't say I'm not giving it up. Because if you're walking away from Raymond James Stadium with that ball, someone's going to go after you.
Yeah.
Someone's going to come after you.
I find it hard to believe that most people wouldn't give it back. I mean, it's Tom Brady's 600
give it
touchdown
back.
Pass.
But for the right, this is right. Where you what, have what to do
I,
negotiate. What,
okay, so I want a signed Brady jersey, a signed Brady football.
No, you have
and
to get
tickets to every game for the rest of the season.
You have to get lifelong season tickets and good ones. That's the starting point because that's an easy.
That's weird because
that's easy ask for
that. That happens because Mike Evans makes a mistake.
Okay, well, it's your ball, finders keepers. I mean, it is his ball.
Well, he didn't find it. He was given to him.
He's not a
finder's keeper.
Okay, so this is even more so. You go to them. You say this. It's hot out here. It's a little humid.
I take cold beer.
The pressure of everybody around. Yeah. Well, it's like a couple Coors Lights over here.
Coors Lights, and we're good.
Yeah, we're good. It's a Kramer coffee for life. I play the Seinfeld thing. But go to the bowels of the stadium. Thank you. That's what Kramer wanted. They wanted to settle after he spilled coffee on himself. Well, he got his coffee for life, and he was over-caffeinated. You go to the bowels of the stadium. And
the bowels of the stadium?
The bowels. Okay. The bowels. And that's where you negotiate. You go, look, this is number 600. Nobody has come close to 600 touchdowns. This is the greatest football player of all time. This isn't Martin Gramatica's 100th point.
I get it, but not everybody,
in a Bucs uniform.
Not everybody is a memorabilia dealer at the moment. I can understand why he was willing to give it back.
You cannot allow yourself to get pressured in that moment, though. You're going to get bullied. You're going to get pressured. You're going to say, I just want to be the good fan. Oh, be a fan. Give it to Tom. Of course. I go in and go, I want to give it to Tom. Let's let cooler heads prevail. Take me down to an office, and we can talk.
And we'll roll you.
And I'm not. Well, don't.
You'll end up in the channel.
You're going to
shiv you and put you in the causeway. Is what we're going to do.
So what are you? So Wild Wines Coors Light. I'm starting season tickets for life. Good ones. What are you starting with, Abdallah? Yeah, this is.
As people in the Twitch chat are pointing out, and I know this because Randy Merkin, who set this up, who Byron Kennedy will join us at 5:35. He's a doctor, and he was sitting in the front row. He's doing okay.
Yeah. Well,
he's doing okay. So what I sold to Waddle before we came back from break is I want the jersey,
a game jersey
signed. I want another football.
How about that game jersey from that game?
That's probably going to the Hall of Fame too. Yeah. So just give me a signed Brady jersey, whatever. Signed Brady jersey, signed football, and give me tickets through the run of wherever they go this year. So if they go to the Super Bowl, I want Super Bowl tickets. If they go to the wherever they go, I want tickets.
Fair.
That's it. That's enough. You know, what am I going to... I mean, season tickets for life sounds like a lot. I mean,
what's wrong with that? He's a doctor. He's doing well. So
I would say season
there's one thing he doesn't have to
how
spend
about
money
on. Tie it to Brady. As long as Brady is a buck, give me tickets.
That's cool, too. But, I mean, why not ask for the moon and then land amongst the stars? You know, like, start high. Don't start
You're
low.
You're going to the Super Bowl.
I'm with Sylvie on this. I think you ask for more. I ask for Chipotle for life, and I want Tito's for life. That's what I want. I want Tito's and Chipotle. Just take care of me. Boom.
That's not you can the have TB12 your ball. Mess of
I don't care.
Though.
He can shove it.
Yeah.
I want to eat Chipotle, and I want to have my vodka. That's what I want.
I am telling all my fellow fans out there, if you ever get your hands on something big, something, a ball, a bat,
Tom Brady's ball,
give it back. Yes, give it back, but... Don't be bullied into it. You got to go down and you got to negotiate.
Do you call your lawyer right away?
That's a good point, too. You may want to call someone. I'd like to have a representative with me.
Right. Ravel.
Yeah. No, don't call Darren Ravel. Call Big Cat. Big Cat could help you with this.
I think tickets for the remainder of the season and a trip to the all-expense-paid trip to the Super Bowl and the Brady paraphernalia, I'd probably sign off on that.
312, $500,000 could be worth.
Yeah, but I wouldn't have known that.
312-332-3776. What would you want? What would you want? Where would you start? We'll take some of your calls, taking some of your Bears calls as well. And that guy, Byron Kennedy, is going to join us. The fan who gave up the ball is going to join us at 5:35. I also have the good, the bad, the dirty coming up at 4:30.
Waddle and Sylvie. Follow us on the gram at Waddle and Sylvie and at ESPN underscore Chicago. This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
I wasn't far off. My movie knowledge is not good, and Carmen DeFalco is the king of that. But
Is Carmen ever coming back from Tampa?
Carmen is back at the pool right now at our hotel. Because his flight was canceled today.
Was it? Or did he just decide that he'd like a little extra pool time in Tampa?
I think Dan Weider's flight earlier was canceled. I don't know if he got back. But Carmen had to wait to begin with till after the show. His plan was to do the show from there. The flights weren't early enough for him to get to Chicago like it was for me, where I could do it for 2 o'clock. But so it got canceled. Then he had a plan where he was going to drive 5 hours to Atlanta to get onto a plane there. And I hear that's one of the worst airports in America.
Why doesn't he just drive to
Orlando?
Yeah.
No flights, he said.
None?
Yeah. He said he's been working on it all day, and there's no solution, and he's going to try again tomorrow. So him and Gio...
Head south, go to the Keys, hang out with Jimmy Johnson.
Meantime, Danny Zetterman is in Charlotte, North Carolina, as he's delayed on his stopover in Charlotte.
By the way, they caught some nice fish.
They did. They went on a fishing... Now, rip me if you want. It's not my thing.
I'm not ripping you.
It's not... Was your son ripping you?
Or was he okay with
it? We kept it on the low. Like, really, can a kid complain that I didn't take him on a fishing trip when I took him out of school?
Looked like it was a lot of fun.
It did. We went on our own boat ride. I rented a boat. I took him out to the bay. We went down some of the rivers. I'm not a fisherman.
Look at you. You got your own boat license out there running the water. Did you little speedboat? It was like Crockett and Tubbs?
It was more like a go-kart boat. It was like really like a two-person boat. We had some fun.
Should have done some treasure hunting. Jump in the water.
Treasure hunting?
Yeah, come on, in Florida, off the coast.
You want to do some diving and looking for,
why not?
Wrecked pirate ships?
Yes.
This is just
Why did you take him out of school if you weren't going to go out and treasure hunt? Like, geez, you could be in school learning.
You just wanted to see the bears?
Why? Why?
It's father-son time. Anyway, there is another Indecent Proposal type movie out there that I was right with the cast.
What's it called?
Shout out to many listeners on Twitter who tweeted me at Waddle and Sylvie. Honeymoon in Vegas from 1992.
Oh, Honeymoon in Vegas, yeah.
The stars of this movie was James Caan, Nicolas Cage, Sarah Jessica Parker. Jack loses $65,000 in a poker event in Las Vegas. Huh?
Brandon Marshall?
Why did you say Brandon Marshall?
Loses $65,000 and then has to call Jay for some money?
Yeah. No, Jack loses $65,000 in a poker tournament in Las Vegas where he's marrying Betsy. The wedding will have to wait as the poker winner wants the weekend with Betsy to cancel the debt. She accepts. Whom will she marry?
$65,000. Like years before there was a movie made, it was $1 million.
It's hilarious. 312-332-3776.
Do you think that Tom Brady, catches wind that Tony Romo was offering or suggesting that Tom let this guy have a date with his wife and calls him up and say, hey, Tony, what's going on?
This would be a good quarterback little thing because Tom Brady's going to be on the Manning cast tonight on ESPN2.
Oh, you know they're going to ask.
Well,
they're going to ask.
They need to say to him, hey, did you catch wind that Tony Romo offered up Giselle to the fan?
Yes.
I hope they do that. Do you think they will?
I think they will, definitely. It's a good talking point.
That's what it should be, right?
Yeah, I don't think Tom Brady's going to be too high on the suggestion.
Shot. You think the Manning brothers in their gingham shirts buttoned all the way up to the top, tucked into their khakis, are going to ask him about an indecent proposal?
Eli,
are you kidding me?
Eli owns Tom Brady.
It doesn't mean he owns his wife. He's not going to ask him that.
No, he can ask him about it.
I think Peyton kind of dances around and say, hey, Tom, I don't know. I mean, if anybody's talked to you, but Tony Romo was kind of weird with what he was suggesting.
Abdallah's wrong in this. They will, because they know it will break the internet for any sports personal sports deal, any sports talker across the country.
They're
this will be their big thing tomorrow. The big thing will be, did you see they asked him about it?
they're both wise asses. Eli is the quiet assassin.
No way.
He's very funny.
Right here, he's like, we need that ball. That's 600. What? Really? So what do you want? A million? No. A day with Giselle, and I'm in. Tom? Okay, Tom will do it. He'll love it. One time. You got it.
Let's bet. The Mannings will bring it up.
Nope.
If Tom Brady... Okay, how much you want to bet? Let's bet.
Sandwich bet.
$5. $5. Stoichki?
One unit for you?
One unit.
One unit? One waddle unit?
That's a $10
bet. $5?
I'll bet you $5.
$5.
Sure. Sure.
All right, they got a $5 bet.
Now you guys got to watch that broadcast.
I bounce back and forth because of the connection issues. Like, I find it to be entertaining, but, like, when I'm trying to watch the game, and I don't know how dialed in I'll be to the Seahawks and the Saints, but when Peyton asks a question and there's this pause because the connection isn't great, and then before the answer, they think that nobody heard it, so then Eli chimes in, and then the answer comes, and it's like... It gets confusing for me.
I get it. Marshawn Lynch is going to be on the show. Is that going to be really good or really bad because of the connection issues? He's a little bit different at times. You never know which Marshawn Lynch you're going to get.
I would love if they would all convene for this broadcast all in the same room.
It should be.
Fly him in.
I would think it's a moneymaker.
I would think so, too.
This isn't a podcast.
No.
This is Monday Night Football on ESPN2.
Come on. They would go into the Manning den. The Manning den.
This isn't Crosstalk Unhinged.
No.
I don't think they'd be able to get,
I don't think they're talking about guys. Never mind.
No, but you wouldn't be able to get a guy like Tom Brady during the week unless they were on bye this week.
That's true. That is true. But I just, the connection sometimes, like the Gronk connection was bad that time.
Yes, and they were all off. Gronk's making jokes. Peyton wanted to break down football.
Yeah.
Eli's just here for some fun.
Yeah, and Peyton's sweating from his right armpit, not his left armpit.
Nothing wrong with that.
No, I sweat out on my right pit more than my left pit as well. But
there's a man who knows his own pit.
Yeah.
John in LaGrange, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Johnny?
What I would ask for that Brady ball would be an autographed jersey or football, whatever, stating what that guy did for Brady on the 600 TD. Then you got a one-of-a-kind autograph.
I got to tell you, too, I'd like to say I'd be a ball buster and say, no, I'm getting this, this, and this. I know I would fold quickly.
You would?
Yeah.
But like, you don't really care about that.
Right.
There's only going to be that one moment for some of us.
When
you're in the right place at the right time, that guy was.
I get it. But like,
ask for a Super Bowl ring.
How about that? But the reason the ball came to you was because Mike Evans made a mistake. So, like, I get it. It just wasn't like... I went in and I filled out my lottery ticket. I've gotten this number, this or this.
What's
this,
a home
this
run? A home run ball is the pitcher making a mistake and then it landing to you. And
that pass wasn't thrown to me. Like, a home run ball's hit into my lap from the stands.
It was handed into the stands by Mike Evans.
Right. It's not like, hey, I caught a ball in the outfield and then tossed it to the guy. I mean, I get your point. I'm just telling you, I know myself. I wouldn't sit there and call my lawyer and make sure that I was getting enough in return.
Look at you, Mr. Stand.
Look at you, Mr. Businessman.
I gotta take care of me regardless
of what the right thing to do here
is. Dude, I catch a break. This is your break.
Yeah.
Waddle's going to win the lottery. You know what? I really didn't intend
to. I'd probably give you some of it, too.
I did a quick pick. I didn't pick the numbers myself, so I don't really think this is mine, Illinois lottery. Why don't you guys keep and just give me a football?
I give you now. You know what? You've just written yourself out of the when I win a lottery will.
No.
Yes. No, you did.
No, come on. I'm sorry. I want in one day, one of us, we have promised each other.
That promise was just broken.
No, come on, I'm sorry.
No, nope.
Scott in Central Florida, your lawyer called me. We'll negotiate. Hey, Scott.
Hey, I was at the game yesterday, too, and as a Bear fan, I was trying to catch all the games I can down here. As far as Justin Fields goes, no one can evaluate him off of what I saw yesterday. 2 seconds into the game, JPP was coming around the end. It was when you see it live, like on TV, it's a close-up, and sometimes you think you get a picture. But when you see the whole field, to me, there was just nobody open. And the line was backpedaling so hard. It wasn't just the guys coming around the end. He couldn't step up anywhere.
Right,
he
right.
was literally pinned in. Look, so then to be a rookie, sure, then you're a rookie, and it has to be overwhelming to begin with. But even when he rolled out sometimes and got out of the pocket, he had enough wherewithal to bend back and not cross the line of scrimmage, and nobody was running to get open. They were staying right next to the defenders. They didn't look like they knew what to do, like in a scramble situation.
This is where, this is where I'm at, Scott. I agree with you 100%. Anybody that comes to a long-term conclusion about who Justin Fields is now or at the end of this year, I think you're assuming way too much. I just don't know that you can predict his path as an NFL quarterback in the league based on what has transpired. If you do ignore some of his mistakes right now, I also think you're not seeing the whole picture. I would never judge him based on what I've seen for five games with a bad offensive line in terms of pass protection, with a coaching staff that lacks creativity and doesn't seem as a pattern here to put his quarterbacks in position to take advantage of what they do well. So I would never come to a long-term conclusion.
Would you pull him?
No.
Okay.
Listen, by the same token, like I got Big C tweeting me that they could win a Super Bowl with Andy Dalton. Let's stop.
Big C's still at it.
Would Andy Dalton be able to do certain things that Justin Fields can't do because he's been in the league for a decade? Maybe so. But they're not winning a Super Bowl with Andy.
No.
And at this point,
it's a road to nowhere.
At this point, what are you accomplishing? The number one goal for this season is trying to develop this kid. So I don't understand why you would go to him and then take him out. As I said to you, the CBS guys were asking if maybe he needed a breather to take him out because he was a little bit shell-shocked. I don't agree with it. Like you continue to play him, continue to try to protect him and put him in the best possible situations for him to develop. But by the same token, you can't ignore some of the mistakes he's making, even as a young quarterback.
All right, we're loading up the phone lines at 332-3776. We've had full phones the entire show. The guy who did give the ball away, Byron Kennedy, is going to join us at 5:30. We got a recap on the entire sports weekend. Boy, huge just ups and downs this entire weekend. We'll get to that in the good, the bad, the dirty next.
Waddle and Sylvie.
Podcasts are ready on the all-new ESPN Chicago app.
ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports.
The good.
It's gone! Oh, my God!
The bad.
That is so bad, that is absolutely brutal.
And the dirty.
I'm talking about nasty.
Wow. So many stories are running through my head right now.
Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN Chicago.
The good, the bad, the dirty, and it's brought to you by Vans Industrial, working safe since 1964. Love those guys. We'll go around the room, one thing good, one thing bad, one thing dirty from the weekend. Could be sports, could be anything. Black and Abdallah here as well. And what do you have, Waddle? What's your good?
My good is football related, and it is the Cincinnati Bengals who went to Baltimore and put it on the Ravens. Scored 41 points. They have moved to 5-2 on the season. Obviously, they lost to the Bears, and they lost to the Green Bay Packers as well. A game that many would argue they should have won if not for a liquored up kicker. I don't think he was drunk, but you know what I'm saying. One of his kickers did something wrong. The Burrow to Chase connection, good for 754 yards and 6 touchdowns. He's averaging 108 receiving yards per game as a rookie.
People were worried about him 8 weeks ago.
Yeah, about him dropping the football. So my good is the Cincinnati Bengals sitting atop the AFC North.
What, Burrow last year when he got hurt, he was getting sacked repeatedly, right? I mean, yes. Could the Bears solve their issues as quickly as the Bengals can? Or did Burrow still show more than Fields has shown rookie year so far?
Here's the thing that I wouldn't say worries me, but just chaps me a little bit. I think Burrow, despite running for his life and getting the crap kicked out of him, had one or two 300-yard games. Like, there was a flash. Same with Justin Herbert last year. Everyone said, well, Chargers line, I think, was worse than the Bears line. Herbert found a way to have several 300-yard games. Kyler Murray is a rookie, despite learning on the go and not having a great group around him. They're, like, the breakout game hasn't been there. Like, the big game was the Detroit game where he threw for 200 yards. That's the one thing that right now with me is like I'm looking for.
You're a little anxious about it. You're not worried.
I want to see it. Yeah, I'm not worried, but I want to see it. I want to see one of those Joe Burrow games. He was going through the same thing.
Yeah. Let me bring some good news to the table because the Bulls are fun again.
Vucevic has made two good defensive plays in a row.
Triple-double. What a way to get your triple-double. And there it is right there. He's going to win in for the dunk himself. He said, no, I need one. Shy Slam is able to go get it, Captain.
NBC Sports Chicago. I know the game was out of hand then, but it's still cool to see. It was fun to see. You hear the roar at the United Center. I know they've played teams that they're supposed to beat, but that's fine. They were winning the games they're supposed to win, and tonight they're in Toronto. Go get another one. They're fun.
Fun to watch.
We'll see how great they're going to be. I'm here for it, and so far, it's my good.
I like it.
Boys, what do you have?
My good, this is going to be weird. My good is last night's Sunday Night Football game. I love watching games in awful weather when I don't have to sit in it. When I don't have to sit in it, it's amazing. Give me a blizzard game. Dudes falling all over the ball, not being able to. I love it. It's so entertaining to me to watch these guys just be absolutely miserable outside while I'm inside being like, you
that
guys.
That says a lot about
the fireplace.
No, you like
to see people miserable. That's a statement about you.
It's just the weather. It's just the weather. I like watching the bad weather games. I like watching weather games when I don't have to deal with said weather.
A lot less of those nowadays.
Yeah.
I don't know if you guys know that. There's a lot less weather games.
That's what I want to see. I want to see the best in the world doing what they do, be negatively affected by Mother Nature to the
Colts
point
and 49ers.
Where they're tripping all over everybody.
When does the Weather Channel get its best ratings? It's when that reporter's right in the middle of the blizzard with thunder snow.
Yeah, faking that the wind is about to blow him or her off their spot. And then the next thing you know, someone walks their dog behind them.
That wasn't the Weather Channel, was it?
He's only like, oh my God! I don't know if I'm going to be able to maintain my spot here.
That was like some random local guy.
And then some guy walking his dog walks behind the shot.
You always get the dummies that have like their shirts off at these games. And it's like, what is wrong with you?
There's always that guy.
I love it.
Black, what's your good?
Give me Kyler Murray and the Cardinals. They are 7-0. They beat the Texans yesterday 31-5. Now, it's pretty obviously that Arizona's better than Houston. But listen to this stat. So now that the Cardinals are 7-0, Kyler Murray has a completion percentage of 73.5. There are four quarterbacks since the 1970 merger to start the first seven games and win them all and have a completion percentage over 70. The three others all won the MVP that season. It was Tom Brady, Peyton Manning, and Aaron Rodgers. So I'm going to give my good to Kyler Murray and the Cardinals.
Dare I say, that is such a much better good than the good of watching a crappy game because
you can enjoy football however you like. You can enjoy it however you like.
Goods? I didn't judge your good. Yeah. Don't judge my good.
Judgment-free
zone.
Yeah. I'm just saying. I mean, enjoy your football however you like, man.
Yeah.
Football's football.
Waddle, what's your bad?
My bad, totally up for criticism, was the Panthers. Panthers faced a Giants team that had about 1,000 injuries. They racked up 173 total yards and 3 points. And Sam Darnold got back to being Sam Darnold again. I thought that the coaching, Joe Brady and Sam Darnold, had found something early in the season. Not so much. Sam Darnold's back to being Sam Darnold.
Sam Darnold in the post game too. You were pointing out his look not so good.
The only thing worse than his play the last 3 weeks was like that
his post game look.
Yeah, that uniform from Dickies that he was sporting. I don't know. Is that a bad? Like, I can take it.
I don't judge your goods and your bads or your dirties.
This is the low-hanging fruit.
You're a fashion cop. It's cool.
Why haven't the Blackhawks fired anybody? Why? What are they waiting for? I got, at the times that I did check my phone, I'm on the Blackhawks media list. Did you know this? I get their emails.
I get more emails from the Blackhawks than anybody else in my life.
Every time they would say roster announcement, I would click on it thinking, we have a new head coach. But there's nothing. The Blackhawks, by the way, haven't had a lead this year.
That is my dirty. So I'll just reiterate. They set an NHL record for the start of the season. They've gone 360 minutes and 57 seconds without ever having a lead. That's an NHL record.
I know you remember it because this is the hockey show. When in 2013 they're coming out of the lockout and they're winning all these consecutive games. Yeah, there was an. Don't you remember all the games that they went in a row? I'm just selling the hockey show here, Waddle.
I'm just being honest.
Yeah, they had an undefeated streak, and like game after game, we're like, they're never gonna lose again. It's the opposite.
This is Oppo.
This is
Oppo
they're game. Never gonna. They can't beat Detroit. They can't beat Vancouver. They suck. Fire somebody. What do you guys got for your bad?
My bad. The NFL, man. Why do we got the Bills, the Cowboys, and the Chargers all on bye? Like, yesterday's game sucked. Like, yesterday's games
Giants,
were really
Carolina
bad.
Carolina is the essence of a bye week game.
Like, yesterday was, like, look at the scores. Like, one game was a one-score game at the end. Like, they were all really bad games yesterday. It was
like the rainy Colts and 49ers game.
Yeah, but at least there was some entertainment there because it was horrible outside. But other than that, like, it was crappy.
It was a good game to be, it was a good day to be at a game.
Yeah, it was.
Red zone win. Did you really need it yesterday?
Nah, like Atlanta Miami was your best game. And it's like I got to watch these two idiots
still
fight.
You had the Bengals in the Ravens game. That was pretty close until the very end.
It was
that was a close game, right?
17.
Yeah, you weren't following that game because the two
close.
Scores happened at the end of the fourth quarter.
I watched it, but I'm saying like at the end, it's I want the witching hour to be witching hour.
There were no witches to be found. As spooky week begins. Halloween this weekend.
Right.
All right, guys, let me give you this for my bad. Did you guys see that Illinois beat Penn State over the weekend, 20-18?
I was going to do
all
this
right,
for
now,
my dirty.
Now, so not only is it a game where you'd say it's bad for Penn State, you now have two losses. It's bad for James Franklin, who wants a better job, but now your team sucks. All of that, right, bad. But this is what really is irritating. If you watch the game or if you look at the box score today, it says final. 9 overtimes. Now, this year in college football, what college football has done is they didn't want teams to play forever and ever and ever and ever in overtime. So what they decided was after the second overtime of forcing teams after a touchdown going for two, in the third and overtimes to follow, third, fourth, and whenever you finish, you only go for two. There is no set of downs. There is no playing from the 25.
Oh,
there
really?
Is nothing.
That's how it happened, huh? I was wondering, because this was going to be my dirty, how they go so far.
You go for two, and one play, you don't get it. Next team, one play, you don't get it. And guess what? Because Illinois kept trying to avoid the Penn State student section in the one end zone, they kept flipping the ends of the field in between these stupid tennis-like sets of trying to go for two. So it took forever because then, okay, Illinois didn't score there too, and Penn State didn't score there too, and whose turn is it to decide? Oh, it's Penn State. Let's go down by the students. All right, you do it again. All right, whose time to decide? Oh, it's Illinois. Okay, let's go away from the students. And they kept walking back.
And
Bielema's
got to chastise his offensive line in between as well, right?
Hey, they showed up.
Motivated.
They showed up and they played well.
That was one of my like good bad dirt or the
was Penn State?
The gambling.
People were saying he should be fired to coach of the week.
So stupid. It is idiotic the way that the overtime. Now, this is coming from someone who enjoys college football overtimes. I think the idea of you get it at the 20-25 and you get your four set of downs, you got to score, I think that's exciting. I thought that was fun.
It's interesting.
But now it goes to the two-point conversions in the third overtime. That's idiotic.
Because I was going to use this for my dirty. Carmen and I didn't know. We were talking all about this game. Because
I didn't know
like,
until yesterday either.
Well, no, we knew that it was 20-18 in 9 overtimes. We couldn't figure out how is the final score 20-18 after 9 overtimes? Shouldn't the score be 70-69?
I'd say this too, Sylvie. Like, four of those sets in the overtimes were horrendous play calls by both offenses where they just tried to run straight up the middle to try and get the two-point conversion. It was terrible football.
Yeah.
What do you got for your dirty?
My dirty was the Blackhawks. The record that they set, 360 minutes and 57 seconds without a lead to start the season.
And wrap us up, Black Abdallah.
I'm going to use my dirty to give out one more good, if that's okay with Waddle. My my final good will go to the writers, the scribes, the prognosticators, those who consider themselves Big J journalists for ranking Oklahoma fourth this week and moving Alabama up. If you're at any point, end a quarter or a half, and haven't scored on Kansas, you do not deserve a spot in the college football playoff, my friend.
That's a horrible Kansas team.
I don't care. Get out. You shouldn't even be ranked today. You shouldn't even be ranked.
They were getting bullied by Kansas,
too. Yeah, absolutely, because they're a crap team.
And then wrap us up here, Black.
Give me some DeMar DeRozan. Come on. People around the league thought that this was a terrible signing for the Bulls. He's been playing fantastic basketball, and he's that second scorer that the Bulls needed alongside Zach LaVine. Sure. He's dirty so
far. Maybe even third scorer, too. Like, and he brings something to the table that they don't do. I like them so far. All right, is it true that they're fed up at Hallis Hall? I'll throw that out to the group coming up next.
You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie.
ESPN 1000 and now on FM at 100.3 HD2.
This is Chicago's home for sports.
My buddy Jeff, he writes the Bears blog.
Okay.
So Jeff has been a guy who's followed the Bears on his blog for a long time. Big fan of our show. I know he's got some people in the building up at Hallis.
He's got guys?
He's had some sources in the past. He tweeted 6 hours ago. Source close to ownership describes the mood inside the building as, quote, fed up. And I retweeted his tweet and I wrote, join the effing club.
Yeah, I was going to say.
If they're not fed up, I mean, what are they watching? I mean, I sure hope they aren't happy.
It depends on where your expectation level is. Like, you know, if you're comfortable sitting in your office with 8-8 and losing to the Saints in the first round of the postseason, then maybe you're okay with all of this. Maybe if you are okay with an offense that consistently ranks in the bottom five, you're all right with status quo. I would think that none of that would sit well with a group that truly wants to win.
I saw George on, what day was it, Saturday, from across the lobby. We were staying at the Marriott in downtown Tampa. The Marriott is been there for a while. Then they just built this beautiful JW Marriott that's attached to it. It's joined by a bridge. And you could go in and out of both hotels, use the amenities and stuff like that. The Bears were staying at the JW Marriott. So we tried to see if we could get a picture or two with some of the Bears that we do like. We saw George.
Small list.
I know. I saw George. He was talking to a fan that was with Mason. I didn't want to bug him. Plus, I've been telling him how bad they've been for so long anyway, and he would probably kick me in the nuts. So I decided to avoid him. But George reminds me of an average fan. George gets hyped to go on these road trips like your average Bears fan. He's like, oh, I'm going to Tampa. Maybe we got a chance against Tom Brady. Like, for good or bad, that's how George is. George is like a fan. He's been a long fan. He wants to win. I don't believe he knows how to win.
They've spent money and he wants to win.
I believe he wants to win. And he goes in hoping for the best. And he can't be sitting there with that fan mindset, just like we go, and believe what he's seeing. You know what I mean? Going there, hey, I'm happy to be in Tampa, and ooh, we're going to give the goat a good shot here.
This was another boom goes a dynamite moment.
Right.
Like the one in this wasn't as bad as the Cleveland one. Close. But this was a boom goes the dynamite, and it's coming off of a loss to the Green Bay Packers where you weren't a total dumpster fire. You didn't get blown out. You still lost by double digits. But then you have Aaron Rodgers, you know, telling your fans that he owns you. We already know the family doesn't like losing to the Packers.
Right.
Although you could argue they've gotten used to it. My point is that, like, this is one of those inflection points in a season. I think that the Cleveland game was one, and this is one as well.
That's what I was going to say. So other than Detroit and Vegas, You had a boom goes the dynamite moment in Cleveland. They were not prepared to play in that football game with the rookie quarterback.
Game plan was
even though that was his first start.
Yeah, game plan was not right.
They were ill prepared. A few games later, the quarterback of Green Bay is yelling at the crowd, "I own you. I've always owned you."
He's true.
You're 5-22 against that football team. And then a week later, you go to Tampa. They're decimated with injuries in the secondary.
And there's not they don't have Antonio Brown or Gronk.
And you score 3 points. So I don't know how George, who's like Joe Fan, who gets in his Bears gear and likes to go to these games and walks out of that building and they lose 38-3, how you could sit there and not be fed up. We'll take your phone calls, 312-332-3776. We're also going to talk to the guy who got the Brady 600 touchdown ball. Why did he give it back so easily? We'll talk to him coming up at 5:30.